I'd like to invite you into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 is where we will be at this morning, starting at verse 14, continuing through verse 21. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that translation. And I invite you to hear these words. But Peter, who was standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do give you thanks on this day. Thanks, oh God, that not only have you called us together, but you have called us by our very own names. Lord, you do know us intimately. You have formed us and created us. You have shaped us. You breathe into our very lives and you give us, well, you give us breath. You also lead us in the power of your Holy Spirit. We're grateful for that this morning. Oh, we pray and ask that as our hearts come together around these words, holy words that have been given to us, we pray, oh Lord, that you will lead us. And as we meditate upon these words, Lord, we ask that they will speak into our lives, that you truly will give us life from these words. And I thank you, oh God, for the words that you've spoken into my heart. I thank you, oh God, for the words that I am about to speak, and I pray and ask, oh God, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Well, because it is Father's Day, I guess the question that I have for all of you is that, can a kangaroo jump higher than the Empire State Building? Your answer is, of course not, because a building can't jump. So I will say that beyond Father's Day jokes, if you really do, if you can bring to mind, and if you can recall, or maybe even if you have one that you're going to endure, but if you can imagine about a big, long, sometimes boring speech about what has happened and what is going to happen on Father's Day, the second chapter of the book of Acts is the place to look. It is definitely the place to look if you are a fan, or if you know what it's like to be in the middle and receiving one of those long, boring speeches. You will find that Acts really does. It has the Father's Day speech in it, because it even mentions about who's drunk and who's not drunk along the way. There is something about this, is that what is absolutely perfect for Father's Day, and in fact perfect for lots of other days too, is that what Peter does invite us to embrace are the kinds of visions and the kinds of dreams that God is willing to give to all of us and give to all of our lives. And visions and dreams are perfect for long Father's Day speeches. They're perfect about, who God knows that we can be and who God knows that we can become in all of those speeches. But before we get to this speech in Acts chapter 2, there is a life that Peter lives, and a life that Peter has long before he gets to the second chapter of the book of Acts. One of the great things is that it is not only his own recollection, it's not only his own witness that we have about Peter's life, but there's other writers that have told us about Peter's life and shared Peter's life. In fact, it is this It is after what I was sharing with the children this moment, this morning, is that after that moment of Jesus inviting Peter to come and to follow him, that there is a place that Jesus will share with the rest of the disciples, with the other disciples, and he will say to them, he will say, "Who do people say that I am?" It's an interesting question. I mean, that Jesus has not just met them, but they have left, and like I was sharing, it's what the scriptures tell us, that it was Peter and the rest of the disciples. They left their homes. They left their families. They left jobs and the prospects of jobs that they may have. They left everything behind, and they began to follow Jesus. And so Jesus turns to them at some point and says, well, who are people saying that I am? They'll tell him. They'll say, well, some people are saying that you are one of the prophets that has come back. Others are saying that you're Elijah. And then he will say directly, he says, but you're telling me what people are saying, but you, who do you say that I am? And Matthew captures this. So in fact, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, that Peter will say, this is in fact, it's Matthew, it's really easy to remember. It's Matthew chapter 16, it's verse 16. And Peter says, but you, Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now what is even more, and that's an extraordinary statement. In fact, what Matthew and Luke will both pick up this part about what Peter has said, and they will build on this. This is an amazing statement that you are the Messiah, and that you are the Son of the living God. But in Matthew helps us to see what Jesus says directly to Peter, because what Jesus says after that to Peter is he says that you are right, you are correct. And he says, you are Peter. He names him. He says, you are Peter, and upon you I am going to build my church. Now this is a perfect Father's Day sermon. This idea that comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, that Peter answers correctly. Fathers and mothers both like it when people answer correctly. But Peter has the correct answer. Peter answers this, but also that Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock I'm going to be my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So yeah, Peter the rock. Yeah, the one church that's built on it, and hell is not going to prevail against it. It's perfect for Father's Day. I mean, this is the kind of sentiment that you can find in a card that you can buy at the drugstore. It goes along with fishing. It goes along with barbecue. All those things that we tend to think about with Father's Day. But the only thing is that Peter's life, well, like all fathers and mothers, and in fact, like all sons and daughters, is more complex than just this one place in Peter's life. It's also a lot more complex before we get even to Acts chapter 2 and this big speech that we have just read together. Because between this place where Peter is identified as by Jesus as the rock and the one that the church is going to be built upon, and before this moment when Peter is essentially giving an explanation to, well, those people who are wondering, what has just happened with these folks? These people who have believed in Jesus and have waited on Jesus and now seem to be so out of touch that even some people are pointing fingers and saying that the only way that this can be explained is because this is a people who stayed up too late last night and they're all drunk. And it's still hanging over them this morning. In between both of those places is what all of you know, is that Peter will encounter a group of people that will come to him face to face, and he will deny that he even knows Jesus. In fact, when Jesus is arrested, Luke tells us this story, Luke chapter 22, the first time that he is accused of being in the proximity and close to being around those people who are following Jesus, Peter will say, "I don't know him." In fact, a second time, when they say, "But surely we recognize you because you were one of him," Peter will say, "It was not me." And a third time, when they say to Peter, "But you are a Galilean," Peter will say, "I don't know what you're talking about." And for Luke, this is where Peter's ends in the Gospel of Luke when it comes to speeches and when it comes to explanations about what is happening. In fact, in this moment, as Luke will write his story about Jesus, that we will see Peter, the one who Jesus has said, "You are a rock, I am going to build my church upon you." Luke will invite us to see Peter in this moment of denial of Jesus. And you will see that these outspoken moments that Peter has, well, until this time, been well known for. You will see these explanations that Peter will give, in fact, speaking before any of the other disciples can. You will see all this begin to diminish and come to an end. From this moment in the Gospel of Luke, Peter is really quiet until today. Until weeks later, and the Holy Spirit fills Peter and the others who have followed Jesus so faithfully all the way through the cross. Well, even before the cross, the trial and the arrest, all the way through the cross and the resurrection, and all those who wanted, as Jesus said, who were waiting, as Jesus had reminded, as they were waiting to be filled with power from on high. Peter has been silent. Peter has been quiet. In fact, this speech in Acts chapter 2, Peter is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Peter, when face to face with Jesus, and the one that Jesus says the entire church is built upon, the same one who, when he is warming himself by a fire, denying knowing Jesus, even denying his own ethnicity, knowing it could get him arrested, just like Jesus was. And now Peter stands up, and he says, "These people are not drunk. These people, in fact, are fulfilling what God has promised." Now, as much as we may be like all of our children were this morning, and as much as all of us may be unwilling to be in a place where we are giving public speeches or even public speaking at all like that, imagine how hard it would be. Imagine how difficult it would be to say that, "No, these people are not drunk that you imagine to be drunk, but no, these people in fact have fulfilled one of the prophecies, one of the promises that God made centuries ago." That's the job that Peter has. That's the role that Peter has. And what Luke will tell us is that Peter only does it because he is touched and filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. "These people," he says, "these people are fulfilling what God has promised through the prophet Joel." And we know the power of God to give us dreams. We know the power of God to give us visions that go well beyond our lives and circumstances. How many times do we do this? How many times do we come together in church and offer prayer requests with a vision of what happens when that prayer request is fulfilled? What happens when we lift up somebody, when we come and we stand in place of someone else and we have the church pray for us? We have the church put oil on our foreheads. We have the church pray, well, even standing in for another person. And how many times do we have that vision and that dream that God is going to touch them this time? God is going to heal them wholly and completely this time. We know that God gives us dreams and visions that go well beyond right here and right now. But what Peter reminds us is that this is available to all of us, our sons, our daughters, young men, old men. They will see dreams. They will dream dreams. They will see visions. It's a more complicated story than just ties and fishing tackle. It's the kind of story that's kind of difficult to print on the inside of a card. That's what I wrote in my notes. But it's also the kind of story that's really hard to teach to children in a children's moment on Sunday morning, as I just found out. But this speech in Acts chapter 2, and the whole story of Peter, the story that leads him to this speech, is worth our full engagement as the people of God. Because imagine the hope that we need right now as fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. Imagine the kind of hope that we need for dreams and for visions right now. Imagine how far we would be able to go beyond our highest achievements, as rock solid as those foundations can be, as Peter reminds us. And imagine how also we can fail so miserably when we are called out and denied the lives that we have lived. This speech, this long speech, the one I'm inviting you to grab onto on Father's Day, is just this. It's a speech that is given by someone with great gifts and also by someone with great faults. And yet it is a speech that is able to be spiritual in the best possible way of that word. Because as people who are filled with the Spirit, as fathers, as mothers, as sons, as daughters, what is the dream that God is igniting in you today? What is the vision that you can see as that dream begins to take shape, begins to come to life? I mean, it's far too easy to get caught up in the achievements and the denials that we have in our own lives. And I think this is what Peter shows us so much, particularly as we get to see him, as not only is he continuing to discern, well, what has God done in our lives? What has God done in our world? But also at the same time, standing to be the person who shares that in a way where he is unafraid and unashamed and does it in such a compelling manner. The Holy Spirit works above and beyond all those achievements and denials that even make up our own lives. And the very fuel of that work, as Peter explains in our reading today, is promises as they are fulfilled by God. As Peter says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's what Peter says. It's not a select few. It's not those that have been called and those who have been chosen. Peter says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. As people who are led by God's Spirit, we are then offered dreams and visions. Not always the whole picture, but it's just enough. Enough of a vision, enough of a dream for us as fathers and mothers, for sons and daughters to know that God is moving, that God is truly fulfilling what God has said God was going to do. And in fact, the prophet Habakkuk, long before Jesus, long before Peter, long before this moment, the prophet Habakkuk will offer some advice about visions and dreams. In fact, the dreams that are behind that vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says it this way, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. And I can promise you that a plain vision that is written down by a person like you who is filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be much better than a plain tie that is given on any day, whether it's Father's Day or another day. But Habakkuk reminds us, write it down. Write that vision and make it plain so that a runner who is just glancing, a runner that has a chance of missing it, that even that runner can see it. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for the power of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit that leads us to dream, that leads us into visions of a better life. And we pray and ask, O God, that on a day when we do pause and we reflect on our own fathers and those who have cared for us and those who have nurtured us like fathers, we pray, O God, that your peace will be upon them. We pray and also, O God, that you will meet us in our own hearts and our own souls, where this day can also be a very sad day. And we thank you, O God, that you do see us as complete people, that you know our names, And we thank you that in the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, that your dream and your vision for our lives and the part that we play in that vision that you have of bringing your promises to complete fulfillment in this world, we thank you that those dreams and visions live well beyond our own achievements and our own denials. And thank you on this day, Lord, that in the power of your Holy Spirit, that all things are truly possible to us who believe. Lord, give us the courage to yield to your Holy Spirit. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. And I would like to